Let the church say amen once again this morning. God has been good to us once again. And I hope, trust, and pray that you are well this morning. For I see you here, so I know you're doing okay. You may not be doing as well as you'd like to be doing, but thank God you're doing it all. This morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, you have blessed us, O Lord. You have given us our health, or at least a reasonable portion of it. You have given us our strength, or at least a reasonable portion of it. You have given us, Father, the mind that we need to get up this morning and get dressed and come out to your house. For this, Father, we thank you so very much. We thank you for life itself, O Lord. Even though there's trouble in this life, we still thank you, Father, for giving us a portion of this life that we may live it and know that you are the God of heaven, the one, the maker and creator of all things. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. We come to you on behalf of those this morning who are troubled this morning. We're praying for those families that this morning have sickness in their families. And that's many of us in the congregation here this morning. We're just praying, O Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, you would bless those families to be strengthened, that they may continue, if they are caring for the sick, that they may be able to continue to care for the sick. If they're just a part of the family, we pray that they have strength as well. We're praying this morning, Father, also for those who have lost loved ones. And we're just praying, O Lord, that you be with those families and give them strength to go on. We come praying this morning for the elders here in the congregation and their families. We're just praying, O Lord, that if it be your will, that you would bless them and their families, that they may continue on. We're praying for those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, that you may continue to bless them and their families, and also those who shall come from this point on. We ask you now, O Heavenly Father, to be with this service this morning. Watch over and keep each and every one of us here this morning. Father, and most of all, O Lord, we pray this morning for those who are doing the upright things and those who are praising thy name. We thank you for this pause in our lives that we are able to come out here this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have continued to bless us. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and pray for those who are leading this world in which we live. We just pray, O Lord, that if it be your will, that you would give them the guidance they need. Father, it seems to be a matter of which country can destroy the other one with the fastest and who has the most power in bombs, O Lord. We are praying this morning, Father, that peace may come to a troubled world. And we ask you, Father, to be with those who are in leadership capacities. We pray this morning, Father, for those who have not had an opportunity to yet come before the throne of grace, O Lord. We just pray that if it's your will, that you would give them a space and time before it is everlastingly too late. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying this morning for those who are without, and there are many who are without and without many things, O Heavenly Father, but all we're simply asking you, Father, is to give them the things that they need, O Lord, that they may be able to survive. We thank you, Father, for the roofs over our heads, the foods in our stomachs, and the shelter that you have given us from the storms and the rains, O Lord, and from troubles in our lives. We thank you this morning, Lord, for everything you do for us. And we pray this morning for those in faraway lands fighting on foreign soil for freedom and safety, O Lord. Be with them and be with those, Father, that we call upon from time to time to serve our needs. Watch over and keep us, Father, and be with the parents who are raising children this morning. Be with them and give them the strength to continue on. Be with this entire congregation this morning, Father, and the things that we have done this morning, we are praying that they have been acceptable in thy sight. And, Father, we're praying that the rest of the service would also be acceptable. These and all other blessings we are now asking in the name of your Son, Jesus, let us all say amen. Amen. This morning, church, from the book of Matthew chapter 7, it was read for your hearing that we shall go over it again. I'm going to ask the church to indulge me a little bit this morning. I'm a little bit tired this morning because of the events of yesterday, but please be with me and bear with me and help me to get through this. But this morning, from the subject, Don't give up, for we have come too far. Don't give up, we have come too far. From Matthew chapter 7, the verses number 7 and the 7 through 11. And it seems sometimes that we are so used to keeping on. It seems like no matter which way we turn, there are troubles everywhere. We need money to pay our bills. The kids are getting on our nerves. Even the dog is giving us headaches. If you are a Christian, I've got an answer for all of your problems. If you are not a Christian, you too need to meet the man I speak of this morning. And that man is Jesus Christ. In our text for today, Jesus speaks on how we are to reach Him and the Father. May I recommend to you this morning to reach out to Christ. Reach out to Jesus Christ this morning, that you may have abundance and have life abundantly, I should say. This morning from the text in Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 7, if you will. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." In this text, we are given those three things that we need to become aware of. We must ask, we must seek, and we must knock. And then I've often heard some of the older Christians who have made that statement that I made to you in my subject this morning. They would say that I've come too far to turn back now. What they were simply saying is that I've gone too far in the right direction, and I don't want to turn around and go in the wrong direction. So this morning, that's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying don't give up. And I know things are not good everywhere, and things are worse in some of our lives than they are in others of our lives. Sometimes it just seems as though if it wasn't your sin, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck this morning. But I'm so glad this morning that Christians don't operate on luck. Christians operate on God's blessings. And when you think about it, church, the Bible says in that text there, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given." So what I want to know this morning is, what is Jesus talking about when he says, "Ask"? All He is telling us is that we should pray. That's all He's saying. We should pray and watch what the text says. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. And ye shall ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." So this morning, when you think about it, there's only one way to ask Jesus, and that's through the realm of prayer. You know, Jesus already knows what's on our hearts and what's in our minds, but we must ask for what it is that we are seeking. And the only way that we can do that, once again, is through prayer. Now, I know some of us have a lot of confidence in the post office, in the mail system. But I'll tell you something. The post office with all of its priority mail does not reach heaven. Heaven is not a route for the postal service. And the postal carrier might be on his or her way to heaven, but the postal service does not reach heaven. So you can't send Jesus a letter to tell Him what's on your mind. You must ask, for heaven is too far out of reach of the postal service. Asking God presents unto Him a portrait of the wants of your hearts and even the needs that some of us like to ask for. Even the wants that we like to ask for and the needs that we must ask for. To pray is our way of inquiring of God. And according to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, around verse number 37, the Bible says, the Lord said, "I will yet for this be inquired by the house of Israel. I will do this for them." In other words, He heard their inquiry, and He will do this for them. He will hear your inquiry, and He can do it for you just as well. Where the problem lies with many of us is that we don't know how. We don't know how to make an inquiry. We don't know how to inquire of God. The answer can be found in the way, and the way is given in Jesus. It says that in the text there that we must ask. A Christian who doesn't know how to inquire of God is simply a person without directions. In the past, when we have talked to you about prayer, We have approached prayer in many different versions and many different ways. We have told you before that the only way that we can reach God is through prayer, and we have told you that we must pray. How will God know what you're asking for if you don't ask of Him? Yes, He knows all about it already, but He wants to hear you're asking Him anyhow. Then this morning, I'm so glad this morning that in this Sermon on the Mount, it referenced the children of God having the ability of God's love and rewards if they would learn to ask. We can't determine what God has for us until we ask. And I remember going over into the book of James in chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. And if you don't ask, we don't have. If you don't ask, we may not get. Have you not heard of Christians proclaiming the goodness, how good God has been to them? That's because they know how to ask. Now, I understand what some of the older Christian brothers and sisters meant when they say, I'm too close to turn back. I understood what they were talking about when they say, I've come this far by faith. I've come this way, and I need to continue to work in God, or work through God, or have God work through me. But then, there are those of us who just don't understand what the text is talking about when it says, ask and it shall be given you. If you don't ask, how are you going to get? And if you don't ask, you can assume, you are always just assuming that God knows, and He does know, but He needs to hear it from you. God knows what I need right this very moment. He knows what you need right this very moment. Now, to many of us, to some of us, not all of us, but to many of us, we think that God doesn't need to hear our prayer, that God, simply because of the fact that He knows that that's far as we need to take it. There are some folks who have told me, as a matter of fact, that I don't know how to pray. Now, I have a problem when someone tells me that I don't know how to pray, because I ask them if they know how to talk. And then I say, well, if you know how to talk, you know how to pray. Praying is simply your conversation to heaven. Praying is simply your desire to reach out to God. You see, your prayers paint a portrait to God of what you're asking. So for a man to say, I don't know how to pray, is just a man looking for an excuse not to pray. So when you think about it, when He says, ask and it shall be given, that means you got to go to Him in prayer. I have learned what Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, where he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. That's what it's talking about when you hear folk talking about, I'm too far to turn around now. They have learned to be settled with what they have and just go on. And I know it's hard sometimes to settle on just what we have. But you know something? God is not going to keep you in need. You may stay wanting, but God is not going to keep you in need. When you think about all the struggles and troubles in this life, you have to learn to be content with what God has given you. You must learn to accept your lot in life the way that it has been given unto you. Now, can you change it? You can always go to God and pray. And I just want to throw this in while I'm right there, too. If you're not in trouble right now, you're just a step or two away from it. Oh, because it comes, and I've heard people say, I got some troubles, but they're the good kind of troubles. I don't know anything about good troubles. I've never known what good troubles are. Because trouble, to me, is trouble. And there's no such thing as good trouble. You know, like folk will tell you, I got some good news and some bad news. Which one do you want me to tell you first? Well, tell me the worst thing first so that I can get happy when you tell me something good. When one has learned to be persistent in asking of God, in the text in verse number 8, look what the Bible says. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. If you ask God, and you ask God in faith and you ask God in righteousness, there's a fact of truth that God can do all that we ask and more. I went over to the book of Daniel and I looked in verse number, chapter number 9 and verse number 3. And the Bible says, Daniel wrote, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. But I want you to know verse number 4 as well. He repeated his position. He said, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. So what are you saying? When you ask of God in prayer, you must make sure that you're right with Him. If you are a thief, you need to stop stealing. If you are a liar, you need to stop lying. And the wrong way to go to God is by being a liar. Because God already knows the truth anyhow. So when you go to God and you ask something, you're asking because you want God to grant you what you're asking. Isn't that right? So if I go to God, you know, like some of us like to do, Lord, if you just help me to win this money. Lord, if you help me when I go out tonight not to get so drunk that I'll be all right in the morning so that I can go to church. Now, that's the wrong way to ask. And there are those folks, I know what some of them say. Some of them tell me all the time. They say, I don't see nothing wrong with going out and having a good time. I didn't say you couldn't go out and have a good time. I never said that. I simply said you've got to watch what you do if you are a Christian. You know, and sometimes the line becomes so blurred between Christian and non-Christian. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes, except on a Sunday. The person that sings the ugliest when they get in church, that's the one who has the most to hide. Because he wants you to think that he is something that he is not. They make all kind of faces and frown up when they sing. Twist their mouths in certain ways and make you think that I'm so holy. But this was the same person that you saw on last night, some of you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you come to God, when you go to God in prayer, you must keep the covenant and be mercy to them that look. David, let me finish what I'm saying. I mean, in Daniel, he says, keeping the covenants and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. So, in other words, you can't go to the Lord with a gun in one hand and a Bible in the other hand. That's not going to work. So, I tell you, church, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And that's where we want to stop at right now. We want to pause on seek. When you seek, we must seek God in all that we do. Seeking means to look for something. To ask of something. To inquire is asking. But to seek means to look for something. Or someone, if, as the case may be. As Christians, and you know that, you know, as Christians, we sometimes get it all backwards. We sometimes forget about what we are doing in this life. Sometimes that blurred line that I spoke of a minute ago, it comes all the way up into the church house. It comes with you from your house to God's church house. But I tell you something. We should be seeking for the righteousness of Christ as Christians. So when you go back and you look at the text once again in verse number 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. You got to look for it. When you ask God, don't just, you know, God, I'm going to pray for this thing or that thing, and Lord, then I'm just going to sit down and wait for you to deliver it to me. And I'll sit and wait for the doorbell to ring, and maybe a special delivery will come, and it'll be what I've asked you for, oh Lord. Doesn't work that way. You've got to consistently pray. You've got to pray all of the time. Some of us are still seeking, claiming that we haven't found that we are seeking of. Maybe you haven't looked in the right place yet. Or maybe you haven't asked the right person yet. If you haven't been to God in prayer, you haven't asked the right person. I tell you something. When we come to each other and we ask each other to pray for one another, we ask us to pray for one another, that's good. That's a good thing. When you come forward and sit on this front bench for a few minutes and turn and face the church and ask the church to pray for you, that's a good thing. But you know what? Before you come up here, you should have went to God for yourself first. Because God wants to know what your feelings, what your heart is all about. See, somebody in the church can pray for you all they want, but if you haven't went to God in prayer, how sincere is that? And see, a lot of times when somebody at church prays for you, you may get what you're asking for, something that you're not asking for when somebody at church prays for you. Not that they're seeking to bring you any harm, but God wants to hear it from you. That's all I'm trying to say. When you're looking and seeking things in the wrong places or in the wrong person, you've got to be careful. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 11, we are told to seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. So that means don't stop praying at all. And I know what a lot of us do. Soon as we get that we want, we stop praying. Oh, I got it now. I don't have to worry about praying no more to God. God has given it to me now. But that's not the right thing to do. You don't stop praying to God. What you ought to do once you have gotten what you have been asking for and what you are seeking, you need to turn around and go to God and thank Him for that. You know, I get up in the mornings and I thank God for letting me get up. I thank Him for waking me up. Then I thank Him for letting me get up. You know, that's two different phases. You can wake up, but you don't have to get up. So you got to thank Him for both components there. You got to say, Lord, not only thank You because You shook me gently enough and woke me up, but You also gave me the ability to get up. And then when I think about what the psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 34 around verse number 10, he said, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Isn't that something, church? If you seek the Lord, you're not going to want for any good thing. And somebody may be saying, well, preacher, why seek the Lord? Well, I'll tell you what he says in Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 15. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Isn't it good to be righteous, church? And then in Psalms 105 and verse number 3, the Bible says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Oh, I found something in that. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Oh, there's something in that, church. If you are letting your heart rejoice, And I have to point this out every time, and I want you to make sure that you get this. I'm not talking about this heart. This heart is not the one that makes you happy. This heart has one job, and that's to send blood through your body, to pump blood. I'm talking about the heart up here, the heart that knows how to serve God and be righteous with God. And because the time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness upon you, we've got to be careful that we are seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord until He allows rain to be righteous upon us. What better reason is there to ask and to seek the Lord? And this can only be achieved when we go to God in prayer. The text says, seek and ye shall find. Look at verse number 8 there. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, find it. So you've got to seek. And I know some folk don't know how to do but one thing. You ask some folk about multitasking and they can't do it. They say, if I pray, what else should I do after praying? Well, then you got to go seeking according to what Jesus is saying on this Sermon on the Mount here. He says, you've got to look, in other words. Some folk like to ask. They may even seek. But then that's usually as far as they'll go. But there's another step in there. If you go back to verse number 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Now go down to verse 8, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, you've got to go a step further. Lord, I asked You for this thing, but I didn't do nothing to try to make sure that You heard my prayer, O Lord. I didn't do anything, Father, that would allow me to make sure that You heard my prayer. I should have continued asking You, O Lord. You, when you start to pray, because you didn't get it, you don't stop. Don't give up. There's some folk who say, well, I asked Him one time and He didn't answer me, so I ain't going to ask Him no more. That's not the way you do it. You must keep on. And then once you have asked and once you have seek, now you must knock. Now knocking implies a higher step than merely asking or seeking. Knocking means I know what I'm after and I just need to have the door open for me. But verse number 7 answers that as well. It says, knock, and it shall be open unto you. But look at verse number 8. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. Just the same as in verse number 7 now. But I want you to notice something. When you ask, and then you seek, and then you must come a knocking. Knock, that it may be open to you. What is prayer all about? Well, prayer is all about seeking God and His righteousness. Asking God for what you want, and then seeking of God, and then knocking that God may open the door for you. Sometimes we get a little bit lazy. Sometimes we get a little bit lazy, and we're just not with it, you may say. Sometimes we say, this thing ain't going the way I thought it ought to go. But see, that's the problem. You start thinking. If you want God to do it for you, you can't outthink God. Didn't He say, my thoughts are not your thoughts? Higher. That's right. So if you want God to do it, you must continue to ask God. When you look at verse number 11 in this same text, let's start with verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? I want you to note something about that as well. If your son came to you and asked you to make him a sandwich, you're not going to give him a bag of rocks, are you? You're going to try to fix him that sandwich. And that's what the Bible is saying. Look what number 10 says. Or if he asks a fish, we'll give him a serpent. But look at verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Oh, God has everything. God has it all. And there are many of us, some of us, who don't know how to appreciate what God has for us. Sometimes some of us will stand way over here when God has our answer over here. And the answer over here may not come to you over there because you're standing too far to the left when you ought to be standing to the right to receive what God has for you. But then, what man that has his son ask of him something and wouldn't give it to him? What father doesn't like giving to his children? That tells me that God is our Father, and He has some good things for us. Nothing is too great and wonderful for God to give unto us. He can give us all manner of blessings. How do we get these blessings? By asking, by seeking, and by knocking. That means we must continually or consistently pray. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where is this grace found? This grace is found only in Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in who? Jesus Christ. Prayer will unlock doors that we never thought would be open to us. Some folks like to say that I'm not going to try to wait around for a knock. I'm going to do it myself. If you couldn't open the door before you prayed, how are you going to open the door without you praying before you ask God? You couldn't do it by yourself. That's why you went to God in the first place. That's why some folks still like to use that phrase about coming too far, and I'm not going to give up, or I'm not going to turn back. In other words, they've been in the battle too long to let it go now. When I was down in the valley, I could look up and I could see the top of the mountain. I could look up and I could hear the words of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Oh, church, there's something about knowing the Lord this morning, and I highly recommend Him to you. If you don't know Him, you need to meet Him. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 39. The Bible says, He is their strength in time of trouble. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills where cometh my help. For my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Did you not know that God is the maker and creator of all things? All things above and as well as all things below. Now, who knows this world better than the one who created it, better than its maker? We have come this far by faith, church. We have been trusting and leaning on the Lord. And it's time to continue to lean on Him. There are no bigger shoulders than God. All these three components can only be obtained through prayer. Good things are given to those, according to verse number 11, to those who ask and seek God. Good things come to those through prayer. So somebody may be saying right about now, as I bring this message to a close, some might be saying by now, when should I pray? When is a good time to pray? Well, I'm going to answer that by just giving you a couple of ideas here. You pray when you feel like it. But you pray when you don't feel like it either. You pray when it hits 90 degrees outside. But you also pray when it gets 10 below outside as well. You pray when the sun is shining, but you pray when the storm clouds roll in as well. In other words, you ought to just pray all the time. You pray when you're happy, but also pray when you're sad. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Pray without ceasing according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's never a wrong time to pray, but there's always a right time to pray. And that's any time and all of the time. You know, and I'm going to give you a little tip. You need to pray for somebody who doesn't like you. Just pray for them anyhow. And then pray for and ask God to learn to help you to learn to love them despite their faults. They may not like you, but you've got to love them. I tell you that often. They may not like you, but you don't have to be like them. Pray for them anyhow. Pray for them and learn to ask God to give you His wisdom and His grace and His mercy. Learn to seek and most of all, learn to knock. And I highly recommend that you go to Jesus whenever you have troubles in your life. Jesus has a resume that's worthy of our looking. It's worthy of our look because when you look under His work experience, I found that He had over 2,000 years of helping others. In the book of John chapter 1, He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That was Jesus, church. And then His greatest achievement was that He died to save others, according to John 3 and verse number 16. Then His character reference is given by God Himself in Matthew chapter 3, where the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well proud of." Isn't that what He said, church? And I tell you something, church. The greatest way that Jesus can help us is that He is a natural born leader. In John chapter 10, around verse number 27, He said His sheep follow Him. Are you one of His sheep this morning? Are you one of His sheep this morning? But in the text of Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says that my greatest way of saying that Jesus will come to you, according to Revelation 3 and 20, He will come in if He's standing at the door knocking. If you open the door, He will come in to you. So I ask you this morning, church, don't give up. Don't give up. And I know that sometimes it seems as though things just are not right. It seems as though every way I turn, there's trouble on every hand. Every time I turn around, somebody is giving me some kind of grief and heartache. Every time I turn around, there's something going on in my life that I can't deal with. Well, I got news for you, church. Troubles come in life. Troubles have always been coming to the lives of mankind. Remember what Job said in his book? He said, "Man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of what? Troubles." That means you're going to have some troubles in your lifetime. And I like the fact that when he told me that I was going to have these troubles, when Job wrote about having these troubles, there's also an answer to these troubles. That can be found in the Bible as well. There's an answer to these troubles. Seek the Lord. That's what it is. Seek the Lord and go to the Lord boldly to His throne of mercy and throne of grace. And you can find help in your time of need. And then there are those who say, "Well, I'm doing pretty well out here by myself." And that's what you are. You're by yourself. You ain't got nobody that you can fall upon if you don't have the Lord.
And you know, my shoulders will only allow you to lean on them for a short time. My shoulders are wear out. I'm speaking of man. My shoulders are wear out, but God's won't. You can lean on the Lord. We sing that song, leaning on the everlasting arm. Well, God's arm is everlasting, but mine is not. And sometimes when people lean on you, they can lean a little too long and a little too hard, and you want to just drop them. But God won't drop you, church. If any leaving, it's us that leave. He doesn't leave us. We leave Him. So this morning, I recommend Jesus to you. I recommend that you go to God in prayer, that you ask Him, that you seek Him, that you knock, that He may answer your seeking and your asking. Prayer. There's nothing like prayer. And no matter how many ways you cut it, church, prayer is the greatest tool and the only tool that we have in order to reach God. We can sit back and look pretty and think that God's going to see us because we're pretty, but it's not going to work that way. We must go to God in prayer. We must ask for whatever it is that we're seeking. And we must seek for whatever we're asking for, and then we must knock to get what we're seeking and asking for. So this morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, or you haven't figured out yet just what your position in this life, in this Christian race is, you need to come to God. How do I come to the Lord? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you have already been baptized, you're already a member of the Lord's body, but you've strayed away a little bit. Christians stray. Is that a surprise to anybody? Christians do stray. If you have strayed, you can ask the Lord to forgive you and then come back, come up front here and ask the church to pray for you. But make sure that you've asked God for yourself first. If we together stand and sing the song of invitation.